Paula Poundstone is a stand-up comedian, known also for her appearances as a panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She will perform at the Virginia Theater this weekend. Poundstone told me that although she does voice work, radio, TV, and has written a book, she sees herself primarily as a stand-up comedian.
I would love to, someday when my schedule allows for it, throw myself more in the comic ensemble acting arena, and perhaps I will get that opportunity someday. But if I never did, if I just continued being a stand-up for the rest of my life, I would still be the luckiest performer in the entire world. It's just a great job. I get to go out and think of things that I think are funny and say them to a crowd of people who've come out to laugh for the night. And there is magic in that room, whether I show up or not.
Well, we are very lucky to have you coming to Champaign, then, to get to see you in person.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I love working in Illinois. I've been to Champaign before, although, to be honest with you, I don't remember. You know, sometimes, especially in the wintertime, there are times where I've been to a city, and yet it's never even been light out when I was there. It's dark by the time I arrive, and I leave again. On average, my pickup time is like 4:30 in the morning. And also, by the time I get to where I'm going, I generally have time for take a nap, take a shower, eat some food, and go tell my little jokes. Oh, and I forgot about unpacking and packing.
Oh, wow. Sounds like it would do a number on you.
Maybe that's why being with the audience is such a joyful experience, you know, because the rest of it is a bit raggedy.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of comics have a tendency to make profanity or really explicit jokes a large part of their act, and you don't do that. Is that a conscious choice or just happened naturally?
Well, I say what comes into my head for the most part. I curse here and there. It really depends, you know. Sometimes people write to me and they say, we have a 13-year-old boy and we would like to bring him to your show. Would that be appropriate? And I always write back to them and say, I have no idea. I don't know what you consider appropriate. I've always marveled that a year or two ago, we had like three cases that made it all the way to the Supreme Court that involved cursing. And I think, my gosh, don't we waterboard? I mean, don't we have more important... Aren't there profanities that are far beyond, you know, the F word? So anyways, yes, I don't talk a lot about sex, generally speaking, because my act is largely autobiographical, and I don't have sex. So it's not because I think there would be anything wrong with talking about it. It just doesn't come up in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I talk more about Post-it notes and paperclips. That's big in my life.
And those are things all of us know.
Yeah. I mostly talk about raising a house full of kids and animals, trying to pay attention to the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote, and then just sort of the slings and arrows of getting through the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, your comedy, it does have a real social conscience, and I know you're really involved in a lot of organizations, including the Library Association, Brady Gun Control.
You know, libraries, I think in recent years, and maybe this is a big ship that's finally turning, I can only hope. I think some people, not all, because when I go to the Santa Monica Library, it's hopping. But I have heard people suggest that perhaps libraries were somehow obsolete because of computers. Well, libraries, A, have computers for library users, but all this screen stuff is going to come back to kick us in the ass so hard. And we all know already from using them that they're addictive.
Right.
Anybody who says it isn't is lying to themselves. I see it everywhere I go, and so does everyone else. Everybody looking at their flat thing all the time, oftentimes paying no attention to the people around them. We're raising a generation of kids who don't know how to talk to one another. And one might say, well, yeah, but they do it online. That's good. Well, it's not, because that's just not what nourishes the brain. Eye contact nourishes the brain. Physical touch nourishes the brain. Roughhousing, kicking a ball, those kinds of things, not clicking with your fingers. And by the way, studies have also shown that you take in more information from a book than you do from a screen, even if you're reading the same information. So I'm so glad that libraries have held the line and didn't get rid of the books, because there they are just waiting for us when we get over our phase. And the weight of the book in the hand, the turning of the page, all that, we've been doing it for so long that from an evolutionary standpoint, you just can't skip it. They are public servants, and I think they're doing a bang-up job of it.
Yeah. Throughout your career, you've gotten a lot of recognition. I have to wonder which one you're more proud of, being named one of the Men Magazine Maxim's worst 100 comics or Comedy Central's best 100 comics of all time.
Well, it just goes to show you that you can't believe your own press, you know? Just when you get excited about being one of the 100 best, there you are, one of the worst. I'm trying to think what my favorite accolade ever was. I do a benefit for the elementary school that my kids went to every year, and I think that's my favorite event. They never have good lighting. It's in a room that they negotiate a good price for in a hotel somewhere, and it's more fun to do than Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, I think our audience, who particularly appreciate your appearance on Wait, Don't Tell Me, would say you very much deserve all of your accolades. But how did you get started with that show?
They called me up. I'd never heard of it. This would be 13 years ago. In fairness to me, I don't think it was on nearly as many stations at that time as it is now. Because I'd never heard of it, they sent me an audio cassette tape, which I knew would happen when I moved into that particular house. We had this island in the kitchen, and I'm not really a cook. So when the real estate agent showed me this house, I said to her, well, is there any way we could get this thing in the middle of the kitchen out? And she goes, oh, no, that's your island. You're going to love your island. And we did, because we used to vacation there every summer. But no, you know what I knew was going to happen? I knew the junk was going to pile up on the island, and that's exactly what happened. So one day my nanny was foodling with some stuff on the island, and he sees this audio cassette tape from Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he said, oh, I love this show. And I said, oh, yeah, they wanted me to come do it. He goes, oh, you have to do it. And so I don't think I ever listened to the tape. I think I just went on and did it on the recommendation of my nanny slash manager. And at the time when I first participated, there was no live audience. We were all connected via wire, and we were just sort of talking into the ether. I guess soon after that, some station around the country sponsored them to come out and perform from there with an audience in front of them. And as soon as they tasted that life-giving elixir, they couldn't go back. But one of the fun things about Wait, Don't Tell Me that was great right off the bat was they always encourage everybody to say whatever you want. Just jump in whenever you feel like it. Mm-hmm. And so the panelists, it's a pie fight. Nobody's keeping score.
Right.
Even though we keep score of the correct answers, and by the way, I take it very seriously in that way. A lot of people think I throw the match, and I always love the opportunity publicly to dispel that rumor. Yes, I'm trying to win.
Oh, I think I would be too. And we are very thankful for your nanny to get you on that show. I understand we should also be thankful for your kindergarten teacher who encouraged your comedy.
My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Bump, in May of 1965, wrote in the summary letter, which was written for kindergartners in lieu of a report card, in the first sentence of the last paragraph, she wrote, I have enjoyed many of Paula's humorous comments about our activities. And yes, I feel that Mrs. Bump launched me.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to keep the report cards in a drawer in the kitchen, and we would often take them out and look at them. Until my grades started to slide. After that, I didn't take them out and look at them. But in the beginning, when it all seemed so fresh and new and full of possibility, I used to look at them. And I was always really inspired by the idea that an adult, on an adult level, liked something that I had said.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if I ever got a compliment at all, I was the youngest in my family. If I ever got a compliment at all, it was always prefaced with, you know, for her age. But Mrs. Bump appeared to just find me funny. So once again, thank you, Mrs. Bump.
Yes. We've talked about all of the many things you do, and you've talked about your kids a lot. You were a foster mother. You are a single mother to three. You also have a wide variety of pets. Wow, I can barely take care of myself. You must be related to Superwoman.
Well, not to say that I've done it all very well. I mean, I like to be busy. I always say, better busy than bored. You know, no matter what you're doing, you know, you hit a rhythm at a certain point. You know what I mean? Where some of it does fall into place. Putting in a car seat for me was like a 30 or 40 minute operation every single time. I used to say to people all the time when I'd be putting in a car seat, I'd go, you know what? You know they have that project in high school sometimes where they pair kids up and they give them an egg? The idea is that they're now the parents of the egg. And they have to take care of the egg. And they have to account for where the egg is. And I always said, you know what? I think they come away from the egg experiment and they go, well, geez, it's not that hard. You know what? That's because you never once had to put an egg in a car seat. If they had to use car seats for the egg, you'd see the teenage sex rate drop. I mean, I can take care of a dozen eggs. Having said that, I wouldn't trade 1 minute of my worst struggle of parenting. In fact, what I always wish for isn't that my children were different or less difficult, although certainly they could give anybody a run for their money. I often wish that I had more clever ideas or that I had more parenting coming out my fingertips. It's like a giant puzzle. You get up every day and try to figure it out. Yeah. My kids and I, we play the game of life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forever telling them, we have to rewrite the game of life. You know how you get a kid in life? It's like that little pink peg or the blue peg, and you put it in your plastic car.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it doesn't have a car seat, so right off the bat, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
When you get a baby in the game of life, every player at the table has to give you $5,000. But I'm like, oh, my heavens. I go, okay, listen very carefully to mom right now because this is important. No one gives you $5,000 when you have a baby.
I said,
okay, you want to see what happens when you have a baby? All right, put all the money in the middle of the table. Honey, go in and get the matches. You know, make money is not a profit. You profit in some ways, but not financially.
No.
So anyways, let me tell you, even Superwoman couldn't sift all the litter boxes I have to sift. She'd crack like a ripe melon. Have you once seen a superhero episode where they're sifting litter boxes? Never. That's because they can't handle it.
Especially because each cat decides it wants its own litter box. They can't share.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, and that's, by the way, you know, even to talk about litter boxes, that's the glamorous part of pet ownership. What about the times where they decide not to use the litter box, which often a reality?
And yeah, the hairballs.
No one ever talks about that. Oh, yeah, the hairballs. I wake up every night to that.
Thank you very much.
It was nice talking with you. Thank you very much.
We look forward to seeing you in Champaign.
I can't wait.
That was comedian Paula Poundstone. You can see her at the Virginia Theater this weekend, as well as hear her on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me most Saturdays. I'm Amanda Hunnick-Fort. Thanks for listening.